Good morning, and welcome to the Midweek Devotional Coffee with Ann. We have gone from spring to winter again. Lots of ups and downs these days. Please enjoy your coffee as I enjoy mine. I have several books on and around my desk that I need to read, but it has become my habit to read a morning devotional even if my day starts out rushed and I didn't get up early enough to make time. One of my favorites is Jesus Calling. If you are a fan of Sarah Young's work, you probably have a copy of this devotional book. I've read through it, its daily devotionals, well, I really don't remember how many times, a few. And it seems different pieces speak to me at different times. The devotionals are written as if Jesus is talking to the reader, and I have found that very comforting. On March 3rd, the first line in the day's passage, written as if Jesus were actually speaking to me, is, "I love you for who you are, not for what you do." As a child, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I loved church. I loved the beauty of the churches of our little church. I loved that Jesus loved the little children. But as I grew older, I began to lose that sense that he loved me, and more, I thought of him as seeing me as a bad person. I began to fear his judgment. I felt I was a bad and sinful person and that he was unapproachable. Somewhere along the way, I lost the belief and comfort of the assurance that I was loved. It was replaced by the notion that if I wanted God to love me, I had to be good. I don't remember any reference or emphasis being on God loving me, all of his creation, all of his children. As in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." At that time, I would have interpreted "for God so loved the world" as other people, but certainly not me. I went to church, I felt guilty, and asked for forgiveness. But I wanted to believe there was more to God than what I understood. Thus my journey began. It is amazing to me how God has put things into place for me over the years, even though I was not aware at the time that that was what was going on. I don't know what brings us to a place where our eyes are open. Perhaps for some it is when something we have been desperate for happens in our lives. Or perhaps it is when we are down and out and we turn to him with hope that he really does love us. In John 13:34-35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And in Matthew 22:32-39, Jesus gives us the two most important commandments. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, we are to love God, ourselves, and our neighbor. The only entity in these verses that is without any mistakes, bad choices, or sin of any kind is Jesus. But we, you and me, are included in that command. In other words, we, each of us, is worth being loved. Love one another as I have loved you. That brings me to a concern of mine. I have a burden for those folks who are introduced to the Lord at some point in their lives, but feel they are unworthy of God's love for them. They feel their many mistakes, their little faith does not warrant His affection. I want these folks to know what God says in His Word. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. And Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that they, that's all of us, may have life and have it to the full. Whoever believes in Him. There is no restriction included in this verse. There is no scale of how much we believe in Him, just that we believe. That little flicker of faith, of hope that life will or could be better, is all that is needed. It starts you. It concerns me greatly that there are folks who are so discouraged with themselves. They feel unworthy of our Lord's love and are often hopeless. I have felt that myself. What a relief when I finally began to realize that the Lord loves me for who I am and not what I do. There are many stories that show us the Lord's mercy and compassion. He doesn't give up on us, even if we do feel unworthy, unlovable. Think of the woman at the well, John 4, who had been married 5 times and was living with someone not her husband. We can imagine how she was thought of and treated in her village. Until Jesus entered her life, she likely felt hopeless that anything good would come from her existence. Or in John 8:10-11, the woman caught in adultery about to be stoned, Jesus instead turned the tables on those accusing her and said to her, "Who is accusing you?" "No one," she answered. Jesus replied, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." The truth is, we human beings, the accused and the accusers, are so much more alike than different. We all sin, make bad choices, and as Paul points out about himself in Romans 7, do what we don't want to do and find it very hard to do what we do want to do. It seems to be the nature of humanity. And finally, Luke 23:42, my favorite moment, demonstrating the Lord's willingness to forgive, willingness to see the good in all of us, to love who we are and not what we do. The thief on the cross next to Jesus, acknowledging his mistakes, at the last moments of his life, asked the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus, knowing the man's heart, responds, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It is my opinion from my life experience and God's word, Jesus is much more interested in our heart of hearts than all the mistakes we make. Please pray with me. Lord, so many people hurt in this world because, for whatever reason, they have come to believe they are not worthy of your love. What a lie that is. Please help each of us listening to be open to the hurting, lonely souls around us and urge us to bring your love, mercy, and comfort to them. In your precious name we pray, amen. Thank you for being with me this morning, and may the Lord bless you and yours.